brother.
How many of you identify with that? Amen. 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 54 years being saved. How many of you glad you saved? How many of you believe he gets sweeter as the days go by? Amen. The older you get, the more you realize you need him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Cobby. We are just sinners saved by grace. Thank God for all the folks faithful before me. And we have such influence in our lives, don't we? People that's been a witness, been a help to us. Many of them are in heaven now. But we're thankful for that. Would you open your precious Bible tonight to the Gospel according to Mark? And you know, we're dealing with the metaphor of seed with the Word of God being seed. We dealt with the seed, and we almost got full done with the soil. I just want to touch on the very last illustration of soil that the Lord Jesus was teaching in this parable. And, you know, when we think about this parable, I mentioned it earlier, but I think this is important. A parable is a comparison, it's a figure, it's an illustration placed alongside a truth. It's really an object lesson. Often, fact of preaching is this, that people will remember a preacher's illustration more than they'll remember the sermon. And it's okay if that illustration leads them to a truth. Now, if they're just trying to be funny, that's a different story. Now, I'm not against humor from time to time, but normally when you give an illustration, you're not just trying to tell stories. There's a spiritual reason behind it, and really I believe this. I can think back through my life, listening to life-changing sermons and messages in my life. I can remember an illustration that a preacher used that really drove the truth home. And many times we will remember the illustrations long after we've forgotten everything about the sermon. Jesus peppered liberally illustrations and all through his messages and when he spoke. He was the greatest teacher ever. And his hearers would have been very familiar with the imagery that he showed and shared in chapter 4 of Mark. And even from the smallest child that's sitting in here tonight understand the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. But I want you to notice the very last type of heart or type of response or type of soil. In verse 8, as he's given this parable, the Lord Jesus is speaking here. He says, "And other," talking about the seed, "fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Now, as you know, he explained in detail every one of these to his disciples. So if you look in verse number 20, you'll find that he gives, you know, a little bit more detail about this ground. "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So there you see the power and the potential of the seed exemplified. And what made that take place was not the power of the seed, because there's no problem with the seed. We've already learned that the seed is the Word of God. There's no trouble with the seed. There's no trouble with someone sowing it. But we find out the soil makes the difference. And so I don't know. I hope and pray tonight, and as we continue to develop in our Christian life, that we continue to be good ground for God. Someone might say, well, what would good ground be? Well, that would be exactly what the Bible says here. It says they were given the Word. They received it. They heard it, they received it, and they brought forth fruit. Is that not what seed is supposed to do, is bring forth fruit? It's desiring hearts. I said it this morning, and I don't know how else to say it. When I was a young Christian, and the Lord, or a young father with a family, And the Lord was really working in my heart. I'm going to be honest with you. I soaked up everything I could because I knew I needed it. We live in a day now, and by the way, I'm not going to say to you that I've never been like I'm getting ready to say, but sadly, I hope I don't ever get to a place or stay in a place of where I no longer think I need it. I'm afraid, I believe the reason that our churches are drying up is not because they're not saved, and it's not because they don't let the Lord speak to them, but I believe we sit in our services and listen to messages over and over and over, and we really think, well, I've heard that before. I don't know how hungry we are. I don't know how much we really think we need help. And I want you to know, life will bring you to a place that you realize you, when you think you do have it, you don't have it. And that's why I think we ought to be good ground for God, because we need to be desiring what He has for us. So if we're desiring, if we're humble, if we have a heart that's humble, desiring to see, that hears and receives the Word, they believe God's Word and they submit to God's Word. So what are they? They're hearing the Word attentively. They're listening to every little jot, every little sentence, every little word. It's amazing to me the little things that God uses. We should be hearing the Word and the seed prayerfully. We ought to be praying and saying, Lord. And I say this, when you read the Word of God, instead of running to someone else, boy, I hope they get that, make the application to your heart first. I'm in such a habit of that, I get under conviction. My wife and I, we do our devotions at night, or whenever we do them, we're reading, and she'll read a passage or whatever, we'll split back and forth, I'll read some, she'll read some, and we normally do some type of a little devotional book, and as I'm sitting there reading that verse, I'm listening to her read it, and then I hear the little commentary on it, I'm sitting there going, man, here's what I do. I'm sitting there going, boy, Lord, that's convicting. I need to work on that. And then sometimes I'm kind of shaking my head and say, man, I praise the Lord. You've helped me with that. But here's what I'm saying that for. I always want to be teachable. And here's another thing. I want to make application to me before I make it to her. So when you hear the Word of God, are you applying it to your life? You know why we don't like doing that? Because we don't like many times what we have to apply to. We know it's wrong. We know it's not there. But you know, that's what we have. We have a loving Savior. He reminds us of these things. He shows us these things so we can get them right. We can apply His seed to our life. So we ought to be prayerfully. We ought to hear the Word responsibly. Like, what do I need to do? We ought to hear the Word obediently. I was sharing this. My nephews was asking me a question this morning. We kind of went through memory lane and they were just asking questions about how I got here, how we got here. All of us are here. I never dreamed that my whole family would be here. I never one time asked my mom and dad to come here. I never dreamed they would come here. I never thought they'd leave West Virginia. But we're all here. And I got to thinking back about that, and then they all got to talk and said, man, and that's why I looked at them and I said, that's why every little decision you make matters for the future. Yes. Noah's sitting there looking at his wife, said, well, if we wouldn't have come down here, I wouldn't have met my wife. We're sitting there talking about things, and to be fair, I didn't want to come. I'm not saying that arrogantly. I'm just being honest with you. Who wants to pack up and leave? And you're comfortable and you love where you're at. Never dreamed I'd be out of West Virginia, but we came. And we have to respond. And sometimes that means it's not comfortable. Sometimes the seed is laid down and the Word of God hits us with something. And it's just something, to be fair, we just don't like it. I want you to know, the Bible says we ought to be good ground for God. He knows the way through the wilderness. We ought to follow Him. So we ought to hear the Word obediently. We ought to apply His Word to our life and obey it in our lives. Well, that's good ground. Now, here's the thing. In this parable, we see three elements. I dealt with tonight for a few moments the soil. We dealt with the seed, but I didn't say anything about the sowing, very little. Tonight I want to deal with the sowing. Who's the sower? Now in this parable, we know, said the sower, he didn't give a description, he just said basically, the sower soweth the word. It was the Lord, he was sowing the word. He was giving this parable, he was sowing the word, he was laying it down. But here's what's amazing about this parable, it's anyone who's laying it down. Now here's where we've gotten. We think that the only persons required to do that is somebody that's a preacher. That's not true. We have, and by the way, I don't know if you feel that way. I hope you don't, but I want you to know if you do feel that way, just as I felt that way or thought that way years ago, I was wrong. I thought when the missionaries came in and the preachers came in and Mr. Pilkington came in, those were the people that were supposed to spread the seed. But I learned, here's what's amazing, this is a friendly user seed. We ought to be all laying it down. We ought to all be laying it down. So the sower is anyone that's sowing it. Yes, it could be preachers. Yes, it's teachers. Yes, it's missionaries. Yes, it's Sunday school teachers. But look, the easiest place to sow seeds in this building. This is the easiest place to sow it. People come here to hear us, so we're not stepping on anything. Look, if someone gets mad at me and say, well, hey, you came here. Now, I don't preach to make somebody mad, but I'm just saying if someone comes here, I have a hard time believing that they think they're going to come here and get exercise and I'm going to go up here and lead them in jumping jacks. I mean, when people come here to Tiptonia Baptist Church, they know what they're going to get. So they've come in our house, and all of you came here tonight knowing what you're going to get. You just hope it's a little shorter than normal. But it's easy to sow it here. Now there are times we have to deal with topics and subjects, not easy. But it's easy. Everybody ought to appreciate sowing the seed here. But you know there's a magical formula of the sower. I'm going to give y'all a magical formula tonight. Y'all ready? A magical formula. Y'all like magic? Most of it's trickery if it's called magic. And we had that missionary from India not long ago. A man, you know, we called him the missionary magician. And so they're like, we don't like that. So we called him the illusionist. That's what it is anyway, by the way. And so y'all stay with me. I can tell y'all are not impressed. But here's the magical formula. Y'all ready? This is deep. Y'all know what it is? You got to sow it. For seed to work. For seed to produce fruit. For the seed to get planted in the hearts of people, it has to be sowed. Are we sowing? Let me give you three quick components of this magical formula. Number one, if sowing is the formula, then give you three areas in which we should do it. Number one, you have to sow it plentifully. Now, this is the thought that comes to mind. It's kind of the same thing, but it's not. I remember my father, Dad, when you were in Hinton, you would buy bulk. You would buy curly tail grubs, you would buy jig heads, you would buy them bulk. Because you know, you lost a lot of lures when you fish. So Dad would buy them by bulk. Well, there was a man that he worked with, and I'm not being ugly, but he was a tightwad. Y'all know anybody like that? And man, the guy, he kept talking to Dad about these lures and Dad, you know, and so Dad buys, you know, buy bulk bags, and I mean, they'd be by the hundreds because you'd lose them. And I'll never forget, I was a kid when my dad said this. He said, yeah, so-and-so came to work today. And he said, well, Patrick, he said, I finally broke down and bought one of them. And they're like 98 cents. And he probably didn't fish 10 minutes and he done lost it. And that's kind of the way we are with the seed. We got to sow it plentifully. You say, well, Pastor, it's expensive. I thank God's got us. Sow the seed. These door hangers are seed. They got the seed on the back. You say, Pastor, that stuff don't work. Oh, yes, it does. We got to sow plentifully. By the way, I've learned this. If you don't aim at anything, you'll certainly hit it every time. You have to sow plentifully. I mean, you must try it over and over again. Just keep spreading it over and over and over. We must not allow seed sowing opportunities to pass us by. When's the last time you went up to Walmart and you just handed out tracts? When's the last time you went and ate at a restaurant and you handed a tract to your waitress with a good tip? Please don't hand a tract with it being a cheapskate. Amen. That's a testimony for the Lord. And I'm telling you though, that seed, if you put a little bait on it, amen, hey, they might read it. You know what I often think when we go to the restaurant? I try to be as kind, even if my food is not like it ought to be, because if I'm going to invite her to church, I want her to at least know, well, you know what, they're kind people. Sow the seed. Plentifully. Don't wait to be led. God's already led you. It's not something we have to pray about. It's already a command. God says go into all the world. So let's sow the seed. And by the way, so Pastor, I'm not a talker. Okay, then get you some tracts in the back. We got plenty. If you need more, we got them. Sow. I've learned this. I've never caught a fish on an empty hook. I've never caught a fish sitting at the house wanting fish. I've never caught a fish sitting there thinking about, hey, I'm a good fisherman. I will never catch a fish till I what? Cast the pole, cast the lure, cast whatever out in the water. And by the way, we'll never see fruit if we don't sow. So, Pastor, I think I've sowed enough. Well, sow it again. Sow it plentifully. If we believe this parable is true, that everywhere that there is good. Now, here's the thing about it. We don't know what kind of ground we're sowing on. We really don't. I don't know if that's a hard heart. Now, if I'm around someone a while, I might can pick up on some things. But if I'm just sowing the seed, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to say, well, I'm not going to sow it there because that's a hard soil. We don't know that. God does, so let's just sow. And I've learned this. If you sow enough, you'll finally find some good ground. Again, I'm using this in comparison with fishing as well. I'll never forget. There was a man in Hinton, West Virginia. My dad, as you all know, liked to fish. He would go out in the steamboat chute. That was a part of the river we called the steamboat chute. It was a big, deep hole out in the middle of the river. We caught a lot of fish out there. And somebody asked a man in our community, he had a speech impediment. He said, do you know Pat Brandon? And this guy said, oh yeah, I know Pat Brandon. He said, Pat Brandon. He said, he out there in that steamboat chute. Oh yeah, all they want, all they want, all they want, all they want. He said, oh yeah, Pat Brown, he doesn't understand. Okay, all day one. Here's what he said. He said, all he does is he keeps casting. And I would go fish with Dad. I'm like, Dad, aren't you in your arm tired? You've casted 200 times and you're not caught a fish. He said, yeah, but Mark, if you keep casting, you'll finally catch one. And if that's true about fishing, because we're fishermen of men, right? So again, I'm not just being cute. I'm not just giving a story. These things are relevant. To me as a boy, I've never forgotten. Somebody might say, oh, he's trying to be cute about that man. No, the way that man talked, I've never forgotten it. And I've equated that to the gospel. We will not catch any fish if we don't keep casting. And sadly, here's where we are in America. We're talking about everything that's bad. We're talking about everything that can be improved. And we've got the seed that can help everything here. But we'd rather sit around and talk about how bad it is instead of just sow the seed. Sow it plentifully. We should carry gospel tracts with us everywhere we go. We ought to hand them to friends. We ought to hand them to family. We ought to hand them to workmates. We ought to leave them in the restaurants with a tip. We ought to, go to our hairdressers, our barbers. We ought to leave them with a tip or whatever and give them a tract and sow the seed. I know we got some people. Now, you know they're right with God if they're putting the gospel tract in there to their bills. They put a gospel tract when they pay their bills. That's a good idea, isn't it? Hey, if we want to reap, if we want to see fruit, we have to sow bountifully. Can I ask anybody here? Y'all, Brother Milford, you got your garden tilled up a little bit. No seed yet, but the seed's coming. But I have this sneaky suspicion Milford loves okra. They love it. They love fried okra. I can promise y'all this. I can promise y'all this. If you go to Milford White's house sometime here in late summer, he's going to say, boy, Pastor, let me just show you the okra plant I have. Come over here. And he's going to have one little okra plant. He said, boy, that's going to take care of me and Betty for the whole year. No, I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be several rows of okra. How many of y'all only plant one tomato plant? Nobody does that. Nobody plants and just throws, like that one guy, I bought one, Patrick. That's like me going to the store and saying, boy, I'll tell y'all what, I planted a garden this evening. I put one stalk in there. I got one stalk of corn coming up. Nobody does that. But it's amazing we do that with the seed of the Word of God. We ought to sow plentifully. Then can I say this? We ought to sow passionately. That's where our hearts are burdened. I'm going to be honest, the last couple of days, I had a dream. Man, I had a dream about Dalen the other night. I had a dream, man. It got on me, too. Got on me. Got on me bad. In my dream, he walked away from me. And sometimes, in fear of someone rejecting us or walking away from us or not listening to the seed, sometimes we clam up and won't sow. But it really ought to motivate us to sow more. The seed is more effective when there's a genuine concern for the lost. I appreciated a young man in our church asked me the other day, and you know, I'll be careful, but he asked, you know, and I'm thankful he shared with me. He's been witnessing to his family, and I appreciate that. And the greatest advice that I can give, it's hard to talk to family. But I'm going to tell you what will break your family down quicker than anything. I'll tell you what will break down that hard heart quicker than anything. Can I just read a couple of verses here to you? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I heard a message years ago. Chad McMillan preached it. I've never gotten over it. I still have it on CD. Talking tears. Tears talk. Now here's my question for you. When's the last time, and I told this young person, I said, now listen, I'm not talking about some conjuring up some tears or some fake thing where we just try to cry in front of. I mean literally we know that God can give us such a burden. Without control, we get so burdened for someone, it brings us to tears. When's the last time any of us have done that? He said, well, Pastor, you don't understand. That's a hard man. Well, I'll guarantee you, I've never known a hard man for another hard man to go up to him and share the gospel and have tears in his eyes. We ought to sow passionately, lovingly. It's effective, more effective when we have a concern for the lost. And I've said this many a times, people will never care how much we know till they know we care. This is how this church has grown. This church has not grown because of the eloquence of the preaching. This church has not grown, and I thank God for all of our buildings and all of our technology, but listen to me, as Deanna wrote, how does people go without a church family? I want to tell you, people, they start paying attention when they know people care. Why? Because they know that we have a God who cares. Tears talk. Ask God to give you a burden. Say, well, Pastor, I've talked. I've yelled at him several times. Well, I'm not talking about yelling at him. I'm talking about talk to him out of your heart that you're broken for him. Let it come to tears. Y'all all know my personal story with my father. It's hard to talk to your parents. And I shared with this young person the other day. I said, God brought me to a place of when I started to talk to him, I couldn't help but cry. And he knew at that moment that I was serious, because that was not my way of communicating with him. And it broke him. And to be fair, for the first time in my life, I was 21 till I ever found out how my dad got saved. That would have never taken place if God wouldn't have given me a burden for my dad. Now, I'm just saying, have I always been that way? No, but I'm telling you, let God work in your heart to give you a burden for somebody. So passionately. Then can I say, so patiently. Galatians chapter 6, you all know the verse. Galatians chapter 6 says this, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." You know, I'm getting phone calls now that I never thought I'd ever get. I'm being honest with you. I thought, Lord, why couldn't that have been 8 years ago? Why couldn't that have been 10 years ago? But you know what? The faithfulness of this church ministers to people. Even though someone's not been in this building faithfully, maybe for the last 8 or 9 years, they still know what we are. And our faithfulness is already speaking to them, because I'm getting phone calls now that, be truthful with you, I thought, man, that would have been better if we got them 10 years ago, because there wouldn't have been such heartbreak and heartache and tragedy. But thank God we're getting them now. Why is that, Pastor? Because you know what? We ought to so patiently. Here's the thing. Rome wasn't built in the day. Neither was a Christian. We shall reap in due time. If we'll reap, if we faint not, don't give up. Farmers don't plant on Monday and expect to reap on Monday. They don't even expect their harvest the next week. They're patiently waiting on their seed. That's why I say, look, all these young people, man, you never know. It could be 15 years from now, one of these seeds, some of this seed, hit in their hearts, and next thing you know, they're a totally different person. We got to sow patiently. We have to stay faithful. We have to sow plentifully. We have to sow passionately. But our job is just to do our job. We're the sowers. We ought to sow the seed, and we have to trust God for the results. I want to read something to you that I thought was interesting. I came across it. And I thought, man, that's helpful. And I've been there many times in my life. I've got all these papers. William Carey, the father of our modern missionary movement, preached in India. And I read, of course, a little bit about him. But he was in a rough place. There wasn't a lot of converts going on. Not a lot of people receiving the truth. But he went in 1793 with a burden to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Carey was often discouraged. And the way we know that's because he would write letters to his sister back home in England. Here's what he wrote. I quote, "I feel as a farmer does about his crop. Sometimes I think the seed is springing, and thus I hope. A little blast all, and my hopes are gone like a cloud. They were only weeds which appeared. Or if a little corn sprung up, it quickly dies, being either choked with weeds or parched up by the sun of persecution." Here's what he said. "Yet I still hope in God and will go forth in His strength and make mention of His righteousness, even of His only." That helped me. You know why? Because we're result-oriented. All of us are. We're all result-oriented. "That ain't working." No, we're not in a 50-yard dash. We're in a marathon. God's Word works. We have to sow patiently. I close with this illustration, and you've heard it. But I think it's the most powerful thing I've ever heard, I think, to help motivate us to give the gospel. In May of this year, Lord willing, I'll be going back to Kenya, Africa. I'm excited about the trip. For it was there and through that experience that I truly believe that God opened my heart to be willing to come here. This trip's going to be a little different. Brother Ron has asked me to go because I love the men in Kenya. I've been there. We know them, many of them. We support a lot of them here. And so we're having a little bit there, and we're going to go there to help them a little bit. So I want you to pray for me on Monday night. I'm not looking forward to the meetings we're going to be dealing, working with things. There's always struggles in ministry, no matter where you are. But then on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to be teaching probably 150 pastors. Ron has asked me to preach on the home and the Christian home, and I'm excited about that. But the last time I went was in 2008. And I look back at those flights as God really preparing me for here. So, as most of you know, I went with Tom Sexton. I went with Jonathan Colmer, Scotty Drake. But on the way home, it was just me and Tom Sexton. Scotty had gotten sick. He came home early. Jonathan went with him. So I was flying alone. And so Tom said, let's fly together. So we did. So about the whole flight, it was an 8.5 hour flight. We stood in the back of the plane and talked the whole entire time for both of those 8.5 hour flights. And he was telling me about all of his history of ministry. And he was on staff at Highland Park Baptist Church under Pastor Dr. Robertson. And he was over the bus ministry after Pastor Sexton, Dr. Sexton, his brother, was called up to New Jersey. And he was telling me about all these things. And he said, do you know how I was put on staff? Now, I'm sitting there after 8.5 hours of talking. To be fair, I'd heard a lot of information. And he looked at me and he said, you know how I was hired on at Highland Park Baptist Church? I said, how's that? He said, well, he said, one day I was walking down the hall and he said, Dr. Faulkner came up to me and said, hey, Brother Tom, go by the finance office and pick up your check. He said, for what? He said, Dr. Robertson's hired you. He's like, for what? He said, you'll have to talk to him about that. So he said, sure enough, he said, I went. He said, I found Dr. Robertson. He said, have you ever met Dr. Robertson walking in the hall? He never stopped. He just kept walking. He said, I went up to Dr. Robertson. I kept talking to him. He said, Dr. Robertson, he said, Dr. Faulkner told me to go by the finance office and pick up my check. He said, you've hired me. He said, for what? He stopped. He said, Brother Tom, he said, there's only one or two reasons why people aren't getting saved. He said, number one, the gospel has lost its power. Or number two, we're not telling it. He said, which do you think it is? And Tom Sexton said, we're not telling it. So that's your job. He said, everywhere you go, you tell the story of the gospel. So he turned around and walked away. I don't know about y'all. That's powerful. Because here's what we think. Oh, they've heard that. That won't work. Listen to me. The gospel works. The gospel has power. You say, well, it ain't worked yet. Oh, it's worked. We just have to keep spreading it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Bible says that we know the power of God is in the gospel. We know that we're born of incorruptible seed. So the problem is not the seed. The problems with the sowers. We have to keep sowing. Everywhere, passionately, and patiently. Here's the point on that last one. Don't give up and don't quit. He says we will reap if we faint not. So y'all know a good application tonight? Before you leave, go get you a handful of tracts and go out. The ground is plenty well watered. Just go out and sow. Because we know the seed works. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. There is some more seed in the back. And this is some really good seed. It hangs on doorknobs. Now, I've never seen any of that in the garden. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't even have to talk to a soul. You can just do that right there. And pop it on their doorknob, and they got it when they come in. Now they got a choice. They can either look at it and say, that's done nice, and oh, that's Tiftonia. And then they get on the back, and there's the hook. there's the gospel, there's the seed. And we don't know who will read it, but we know what the seed will do to people if they'll read it. So let's sow the seed. With head bowed and eyes closed tonight, can I ask you a question? And all of us need work here, including me. It's easy for me to tell y'all and command y'all to go out and sow seed and not do it myself. God help me. Let's sow the seed. Let's ask God to help us and burden our hearts. How many of you know somebody, you love them, and you know they're probably not where they need to be? You know them? Would you raise your hand? Can I just ask you? I'm not going to even ask you to come forward tonight, unless the Lord leads you to do it. I'm going to ask you to get their face in your mind, and I want you to pray that God would burden your heart over that person. They're going to begin to play. If you're led, you come. You find a place in the altar and pray. If not, you pray right there at your pew. But let's ask God to help us to be sowers of the seed. Let's just do our job. Miss Olivia McRoy, this is Olivia. We all know and love little Olivia, and I'm telling you what, these young folks are an encouragement to us, and she has been saved, but she wants to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So she's going to do that. Now, we got the water ready tonight, but we got to make sure Mama's here. So she and her family, they've done talked to her about it. She knows what it's all about, and that's so good when families talk to their children about that and they understand. And so the 21st of this month, we're going to get you in water. And you're going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
And I appreciate folks wanting to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen. And so thank you, Miss Olivia. How about you go to the back and folks will shake your hand, give you a hug. Does that sound good? All right. That sounds good to me too. And let's be praying. Let's be sowing seed. Let's be encouraging people to be out. And let's just keep inviting people to church. Amen. How many of you have been inviting folks to church? Keep doing it. And we had a big crowd on Easter. And we just want to keep working at it. And so let's keep praying and asking God to work in folks' hearts. Amen. Well, let's end our service in prayer. Brother Palmer, we've been praying for him. Brother Palmer, would you lift your voice and just close us in prayer tonight? Yes.
Help us to realize these wondrous truths of what you've done in each of our lives.
Yes.
Father, that we might go forth to care and loving others, dear Lord.
Yes.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great night.